You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Los amigos, it is hour number three of the Sports Hangover. Thanks to everyone who's chimed in already. Dempsey's kick, Gleason's block punt. Hakeem drops the ball, Jordan. Tracy Porter's pick six in the Super Bowl. Tracy Porter's interception against the Vikings. Aaron Brooks's backward pass. We're going to have a division of bad plays as well. We're doing a Sweet 16 of some of the top plays that the Saints have had in their franchise history. Kyle Turley's helmet toss, Meacham's interception turned into a touchdown play, the Rams no-call, Vikings miracle, ambush, Hartley field goal in the NFC Championship game, beast mode, Lance Moore's Super Bowl two-point conversion, River City replay, Gillum's kick return, Deuce McAllister's run over the Falcon player, and then Sean Payton, I'm writing that down, doing the choking sign, if you want to call that a play, that's fine.
Wait, we have to make separate brackets, because some of those are bad on the Saints and some of those.
Have you not paid attention at all for 2 hours on the show? What did I say? There's a North, South, Midwest, and whatever regions right in the brackets.
Why would we
have one part of the brackets called the bleep division? And those are the bad plays. You just got to come up with four.
That makes no sense.
Yes,
though.
It does. It's a Sweet 16.
It's Saints madness.
So we're going to have a good play go up against a really bad play?
Mm-hmm.
Let's try this again.
You said
for those that don't understand.
You said there's going to be four brackets.
There's a bad division. There's a bad division.
All right, so that's one side. That's one side.
So
of the bracket.
One, two, three, four.
Yeah.
So you're going to have four plays.
Yeah.
Two plays that are bad going against two other plays that are bad. They win. That will then will give you one bad play versus another bad play, and out of that division, one bad play comes out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then there's another side of the bracket, correct?
Yes.
So
there's three other parts.
So those other sides, both those sides meet.
Good.
Just like in March Madness.
Do me a favor. While we play the midway point of the work week, welcome.
Don't weasel your way out of this.
Do me a favor. Go to Google and try and just type in
I'll type in bracket.
Yes. And then see how it works.
Yeah, there's two sides.
Welcome to the midway point of your work week.
Thank you.
Goodness.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is.
Jordan.
Hump day. I know you can hear me. Let's get
stupid. Today's more that, what, that Camel Wednesday, hump day, is that what it is?
You know you're wrong.
I'm wrong. Please.
You said two sides.
Hold on for a second.
Two sides of the bracket.
Genius McGee, who thinks you've proven me right. Do me a favor and read exactly what those two brackets say right there.
East and West.
How many are there in the current bracket in the NCAA March Madness?
Four.
Thank you.
Yeah, and there's two on
words
each.
Words of wisdom.
There's two on each side.
Peace and happiness. Unbelievable.
You're looking at it now.
Unbelievable. There is the West. There is the Midwest. There is the South, and there is the East. How many is that?
That's four.
What are you staring at right now? Say them again. What's the name of the brackets?
West and East.
How many is that?
There's two. It still meets up in the middle, though. Look, there's still going to be someone from the upper side of the bracket in March. Gus.
If you don't see this.
There's four divisions. Let's do this again for those that went to other, apparently, outside of brother.
I can see him in the studio.
Right! That's eventually going to meet for the champion.
Exactly. So are we going to have are we going to have a bad side of the bracket and a good side of the bracket?
I said there was going to be one division of bleep plays. Bad plays.
So you just say separate.
One division.
A separate bracket.
Oh, my. That's what I just said. One division. It's going to be the bleep division.
On one side
we'll
of the
take
bracket.
On maybe the game-winning division, and then we'll take on a big play division, or, you know, we can either call the other division something like moment division or something like that. Yeah.
I don't approve. I think it's just going to be there's one bracket where it's all
Joe
good.
Joe Horn cell phone play. Right? I mean, we could do a lot. That would probably be in the same division as Kyle Turley's helmet toss. things like that. You know, imagine being creative, Jordan.
Okay, but yeah. We can't have a play.
This isn't complicated.
We can't have a play meet up with a, this isn't with a complicated. Non-play.
What are you talking about?
This isn't physics.
The bad play is a play. How is it not a non-play?
You just said the Joe Horn. That's not a play.
That's a play.
That's not a
play. He scored a touchdown and then celebrated with the phone.
That's a celebration. It's not a play.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
You would put the play up, not the celebration.
You want to fuss? Get married. I understand what Gus is saying.
I'm literally just staring at the window. It's beautiful. Blue skies.
No.
We're still in the 60s. I think we're still in the 60s. I can feel a cool breeze coming through the open window.
Okay, NIT bracket for the other one.
Yeah, I don't know what bracket in the world he's in. Anyway. Here's Jared Cook, your new Saints tight end. He was asked what made signing with the Saints so appealing.
Location, quarterback, offense. You know, I think it's important that at this point in my career, I think it's awesome that I'm closer to home. Drew Brees is a great quarterback, approaches the game like a true vet and like a true perfectionist. He does all the little things right, and he's just on point from top to bottom. I also have a chance to come in right now and make an impact. I have an opportunity to come in and be a huge part of a prolific and high-powered offense, and I think that just interests me even more. And then just coaching staff and offensive coordinator, they were awesome when I was down there. Front office staff was awesome when I was down there. Nothing but respect and love for those guys. They welcomed me with open arms and just kind of showed me the Saints way.
There you go. Obviously, people like so-and-so to the right of me, a little nervous about why it took so long to get this contract done. Mr. Cook, what's the deal with that?
I'm not sure. I really wasn't focusing on that. I was focusing on my family. I was focusing on, you know, staying in shape, working out, and getting things done. I need to get around here. I knew that was going to work itself out. I really didn't ask no questions on why I was taking so long. Yeah, my job was just to be patient in the whole process. That's what free agency is about. It's just being patient. So that's what I was doing.
Was the Saints one of his top destinations because, obviously, they had a need at tight end?
Yeah, absolutely. Frank Smith was my coach in Oakland, and he used to talk about the guys in the role quite a bit. Me and Frank spent a lot of one-on-one time together. And he would just talk about, you know, some guys from the Saints organization, how they did things, you know, how things were run in that organization, how Drew runs the offense, like things like that. So I knew a lot about the Saints and the guys in that building before I got down there. And that intrigued me throughout the year. And once I got down there, I just saw how down to earth and how hungry a lot of those coaches were, and that just intrigued me even more and just kind of helped me make that decision.
Final bite, then we'll go to Troy real quick here. Career year last year from 896 yards, 6 touchdowns, the most in both categories for him a year ago in an offense and in a season that, well, it wasn't a good one for the Raiders, right?
I mean, the goal of life is to continue to get better, and I feel like I'm on that pace to continue to grow and continue to just work at being the best, and that's my goal. I still feel like I got a lot of room to get better and improve, and that's another reason why I came to the Saints. I still feel like I got a lot to learn. You know, it's a new offense, so it's going to be a lot of different challenges, but I'm definitely up to them.
Troy, thanks for calling the Sports Hangover. What you got for us, man?
A couple of things. I got two plays for you that y'all have never mentioned. I don't know if y'all thought about it.
Okay.
In the playoffs in 06, Deuce McAllister, when he ran through like 8 Eagles to get into the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
And the very next game against the Bears, Reggie Bush, where he does the flip into the end zone.
NFC Championship game, but that's right.
The main reason I'm calling you is I want to come to Jordan's defense.
Okay,
here I completely agree with him with the bracket situation. You can't have a good play going up against a bad play, and then we win a bad because a bad play wins, and we would look like a bunch of fools for choosing a bad play as one of our best plays in history.
Well, but here's the thing: it's got to be determined and settled amongst callers and voters. That's why it's coming out of that division.
No one's picking
and
a
then
bad
it will. We'll see. I mean, it was nominated. Here's my point, right? It was nominated by people
because people thought it was going to be in a separate bracket.
And it's in a different division. It's own division. It's the bleep division. Sure. It's coming out of the bleep division.
That's like us cheering from Michigan State as LSU fans.
Exactly.
Again, I didn't submit it, okay? But we got Rams no call.
It was your idea.
It was not my idea. We got Rams no call. We got Beast Mode that's been submitted as well. Aaron Brooks' backward pass. And what's the other one? The Vikings Miracle. So there's your four right there. There's seeds 1 through 4.
They need 16 and have their own bracket.
Yeah.
You think, we probably could come up with 16. Bad place. Troy.
Thank you, Troy. At least someone has my back.
All right, Troy.
I'm still here. What you got, Gus?
I was going to say, out of that division, though, I've got to say the Rams would be the number one seed. Minneapolis Miracle 2, Beast Mode 3, right?
Yep. And the last one is the River City Replay.
River City Relays 4.
Oh, how can you do that?
Yeah, how can you do that?
Yep, can't do it.
See, I'm telling you, right? Yeah, clearly Rams no call would lose whoever it is that they face. But
it would just be dumb.
But to the point of the person that submitted it, it was a play that wound up changing. Remember, Sharif said it wound up changing a rule for the first time ever in the NFL. I mean, it is a memorable play.
So we're going to have in our little four.
It's one you will never forget. I can tell you that if you're a Saints fan.
In our four package highlight.
It's one you will never forget. Again, remember, it's this.
Oh, boy. There we go.
What? I'm not arguing.
Can we all get along? Can we get along?
Troy settled the debate.
He didn't settle anything.
I won.
He did not settle anything. No. Didn't settle a single thing.
That wire's getting bad again, Gus.
Yep.
Joey, that's just a rapper.
You know what? You're... Thank you. Huh? I mean, do you see what I...
I see what you put up with, man.
Thank you.
Play the next soundbite, Gus.
Yeah, Jared Cook, are you excited to be here?
I'm excited to be a Saint. I think it's pretty awesome that Coach Payton and Mr. Loomis and Ms. Benson have welcomed me with open arms and have blessed me with another opportunity. So I'm excited to be there.
Now remember, he is a Georgia native. Here's what it is, right? See, excited, his family, that he's going to be playing closer to home.
Oh, heck, I've been getting none but messages from all my family and friends, excited about coming to the games, excited about watching me play. I think it's awesome for myself because I have a bigger support system. I have more people around me and more family around me that could kind of help with daily life a little bit more. So I think it's going to help. Me and my family out quite a bit to have those other friends and family around.
How about finding the right fit, obviously, when he signs?
It's finding the right fit in this league is tough, man, just because it's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of turnover. It's a lot of changes year in and year out. A lot of different injuries and positions of quarterback. You having to learn rapport with a new person, new offensive coordinator, new head coach. Sometimes that can be difficult if you do not find the right fit. So that played a part early in my career, I feel like, on stability and just getting better and learning. But the last few years, I've been able to kind of learn under one offense, play with one quarterback, get to know that one quarterback pretty well. So I feel like that's been the biggest difference in the transition of my career as of late. And they actually used me on what I'm good at. Coach Gruden found ways to expose matchups all over the field, and he found ways to move me around in different positions that actually helped me and made me more versatile on my role on the field. So up until last year, that was a huge turning point.
Yeah, exactly. And you don't think Sean Payton knows how to make that work and happen? It's going to happen. You'll hear what he had to say about Drew Brees and playing with Michael Thomas a little bit later on the show as well. Quick break. We'll talk with Paul Boron. A little wrestling, a little quick tidbit here. Something came out earlier this week that I thought was of note to touch on as WrestleMania is around the corner. We'll touch on that. And then Glenn Gilbo literally just landed. Got all my texts from this morning. That's how everyone, Jordan, is flying out to D.C. He's like, hey, if you want me to chat with you real quick, he can. So 2:30, we'll get a few minutes with him. Just get his thoughts about LSU and Michigan State. Glenn Gilbo coming up at 2:30. Up next, Paul Boron. Then we'll wrap up with some more Jared Cook sound. Specifically, he and Michael Thomas, he and Drew Brees. So stick around. Got about 43 minutes or so before Matt Moscone and after further review take on over. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans. From the bottom.
Mania is here. Shop now online or in person at Greg LeBlanc Toyota. Our new express store makes shopping online easier than ever. And we now offer home delivery. Get the all-new 2019 Tundra TSS Off-Road for just $32,990. That's just $32,990 for a new off-road Tundra four-door. All Louisiana residents are welcome to participate in Greg LeBlanc Toyota's low, low prices on new Toyotas. Shop online. Shop now at GregLeBlancToyota.com. And save today during March Mania.
Model 8239, MSRP 38449, 4,000 rebate plus TTNL.
Ready to make your commute more entertaining, more interesting, even more productive? Then try 100% ad-free listening on Audible. Each month, you'll get two Audible originals, exclusive titles you can't find anywhere else, plus a credit good for any audiobook and unlimited access to exclusive fitness and wellness programs, all with our commitment-free guarantee. The most inspiring minds, the most compelling stories. Go to audible.com today to start your free 30-day trial, and your first audiobook is on us.
Home and Credit can help with those unexpected needs for cash when you least expect it, or for home improvements or anything else you need. They have loans $300 and up. They offer fast, friendly service and payments to fit your budget. Plus, they even accept phone applications. The folks at Home and Credit have up to 30 years experience, and they're locally owned and operated. Call 223-1085 or look them up on Facebook.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's you, Jamie. Don't hang up. You need to hear this. You gotta quit wearing that aviator jacket. Nobody's buying it. I'm sorry you have to hear it from me, but at Progressive, we're all about giving it to people straight. That's why we show our rates alongside our competitors' rates. And when you're helping people find great rates, you don't need some jacket to look cool. Just keep rocking that scarf.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparisons not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Join the intern about to buy a Cubs camouflage cap.
Oh, camouflage. That's,
yeah,
that's
what we're doing. We're shopping.
I'm not getting...
Opening days today. Cubs start tomorrow. And I'm subjecting all y'all to Cubs updates throughout the rest of the season. Apologies. Now, Paul Boron joining us, PB Oron 88. See what I just did there? That was terrible, the way to say your Twitter handle. What's up, Paul? What's going on, man?
I'm great. As you mentioned, opening day coming up. The defending champion Red Sox back in action.
Ah, you're a Red Sox fan, huh? Like,
oh,
older.
Yeah.
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 Are you surprised by how many baseball fans there actually is here in New Orleans? I'm not. I think that the tie-in with TBS, WGN, and Fox Sports Southwest, where you were either an Astros, a Braves, or a Cub fan when I grew up, and I'm 43, I think really got people loving baseball.
Oh, yeah. No, there's no doubt. That's in my opinion, I mean, I've only lived here 10 years, but so many people are either Braves or Cubs fans in particular, and I think it's because of those superstations. You know, when I was a kid, I grew up in West Palm Beach, so we actually had the Braves spring training right in my backyard, so I used to go all the time and watch the Braves. You know, I remember it was the old days where you could literally go anywhere at spring training. I literally sat outside the batting cage. Dale Murphy handed me a broken bat as he came out of the batting cage. And, you know,
nice.
Yeah. So, But, yeah, it doesn't surprise me there's so many Braves and Cubs fans, and like you said, Astros to an extent, but certainly Braves and Cubs, I come across a ton.
Yeah, I definitely think it's one of the reasons that Major League Baseball is having trouble with the younger gen, because now you don't have that. You don't have those super stations now with TV deals. Everybody has their own station, and you don't get it outside the market now. You have to pay to see those games, so now you really can't really watch unless it's on ESPN or something like that. You know, you're a team specifically yeah. throughout the season and grow and learn with them and become a fan. So I get it. I understand it. It brings the clubs more money, but I also think it hurts on the fan base more than anything else. Speaking of, Paul, we have you on to talk a little wrestling. And it's something that we've talked about the last time you were on. Obviously, WWE going to be switching one of their shows to Friday, coming up with one of their new TV deals and such. But their big event, my friend, was here last year. I went, you went, it was great. WrestleMania, hard to believe, what, 2 weeks away?
Yep, 2 weeks, not even 2 weeks, like 10 days away, 11 days away. So.
Yep, I'm great. Are you having a watch party? Because I kind of, you know, I'm not going to
New York. I'll be there. I'll be in New York.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah, okay, I'll be never mind.
I'm in section 134 at MetLife Stadium.
All right, well, there you go. The reason I bring it up and I have you on today is because I think it's actually kind of a big deal. It made news outside of the wrestling world. The main event for the first time ever is what, Paul?
It is an all-women's main event, which really shows you the progression of WWE, you know, especially in the last year with the women's movement. It also shows the draw of Ronda Rousey. And it also, to me, shows a lot of the influence of Stephanie McMahon and Triple H, because I would have never believed with Vince in charge that this kind of thing would ever happen, to be honest. So I think it shows the push of Triple H and Stephanie McMahon convincing him that his baby is going to feature women as the headliners.
Well, the reason I bring this up too is last year here in the Dome, it was Charlotte with Asuka, right? And it broke her streak. I thought that was one of the best matches of the event. Mm-hmm. And I remember leaving that and even speaking to you here on the show and just in general. I'm like, man, I tell you what, I think it was the first time people said there is absolutely a way that we could see the women headline and do that main event. And for people that don't follow wrestling, wonder why we even talk about it. Just think of this. Paul, am I wrong in saying that when a women's match used to come on, whether it's Monday or Tuesday or even an event that you went to, it was a time to get up and go get a beer match?
Well, or let's be even more honest. It was all about sex appeal. It was, you know, pillow fights, and they never showed off their athleticism really until Lita and Trish Stratus and, you know, and that generation, Mickie James. You know, then they started getting respect as wrestlers. Before, it was stupid little sex gimmicks, and you know, I think that's where the tide started to change. But even then, yeah, it'd be in the middle of the show. I mean, it was a huge deal. I remember when Lita and Trish got to be the main event of Raw. I can't remember what year it was, but it was a big deal. Like, people couldn't believe it. So now, I mean, you've got an all-women's pay-per-view, and now what we're having in 2 weeks, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah, and look, Charlotte Flair, the daughter of Ric Flair, and Becky Lynch is what people want to see. But they're ridiculous wrestlers, incredibly entertaining. And you saw when it had that opportunity to do the pay-per-view and then their own ladder match and things of that nature, you saw them really leave it on the mat, man. I mean, like, they were really good matches. I'm anticipating one heck of a main event. They know what they're carrying on their shoulders, and I think though they're capable wrestlers. And you add Ronda Rousey in there, who I thought performed well in WrestleMania. I think you're gonna have an event where all three ladies are gonna say, "Leave it out there, hit me." You know what I mean? Just make it as real as you can, and let's leave people going, "Oh my."
Yeah. Well, and look, you know, we said it right after WrestleMania, and for the last year, she's only gotten better. Ronda Rousey has turned into a really good professional wrestler. I mean, she is smooth in the ring. She gets a little heat because she's not like The Rock on the mic. You know, well, she's only been doing it a year. What do you expect? So she's turned into a great professional wrestler, and, you know, if she wanted to stay in the business for a while, I think she could be as successful as she wants to be, because she's equated herself very well on showing that she's not just a name that they brought in. She's a really good wrestler. But yeah, you put her with Becky Lynch, and you know, people got upset that they put in Charlotte and made it a triple threat. But you know, Kelsey and I have said this on the podcast. I don't think you could have the women in a main event and not have arguably the best women's wrestler maybe ever in Charlotte in it. So I had no problem when they made it a triple threat.
Yeah, it's going to be incredible. She absolutely knows how to do it all, man, from the pizzazz to the style and just the wrestling on there as well. I think it's going to be great. At PBoron88, it's a way to follow Paul over on Twitter, and you can tell us about that podcast here in a quick bit. But two more questions here. Look, what's the men's main storyline going into WrestleMania? It almost feels like I'm just waiting for the main event, because that has been such the best storyline in wrestling here as well. What am I paying attention to men's wise here in a couple of days?
Well, they've kind of had a convoluted storyline with Kofi Kingston, but it is unbelievable the crowd support for him. Kelsey and I went over to do a podcast before the Elimination Chamber in Houston, and obviously went to the show, and the crowd response for Kofi, who was a late substitution into that, wasn't even supposed to be in that match till Mustafa Ali got hurt, and the crowd was so behind him because of the gauntlet match right before that, and then he has ridden a wave of momentum that I don't think WWE was expecting, and I certainly don't think they were anticipating 3 or 4 months ago, putting Kofi in the main event for the WWE Championship. But he is riding such a wave of momentum, and if he wins the title, I think the MetLife Stadium is going to explode, because people recognize how hard that guy has worked. The guy has been there all along, and he's an awesome wrestler and a good guy. So I think that's a great storyline. Look, the Seth Rollins and Brock Lesnar match, I think, is going to be a great match. I think Triple H and Batista is going to be awesome. Samoa Joe and Rey Mysterio. So I think, as convoluted as some of the storytelling has been in the last month and a half, the actual matches at WrestleMania, I think, are actually going to be better than our show here last year. I'm really looking forward to this WrestleMania. I think it's coming together really good.
All right, man. Let's do that next week then, leading into the weekend
that
WrestleMania actually takes place. We'll go through the matches. We'll pick your favorites and things to look for. Sound good?
Sounds like a plan. We actually are heading off there on Thursday, so that'll be perfect on Wednesday. We'll talk to you about that. We're actually going to go to the G1 Supercard show, which is at Madison Square Garden, which is going to be awesome to see wrestling at MSG too. So, we're really looking forward to it and providing all sorts of content for the podcast from up in New York.
At Two Face Pod is the way to go. Check them out over on Twitter as well, and all the links and all the different ways to go check out the podcast. Go do so. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it, man.
Anytime.
Yep, for sure. Jordy, you want to come over for a watch party? Yeah, there you go.
Will you pick me up from my house?
Picking you up. You know what? Michael on Twitter.
Thank you, Michael.
I'm convinced he's a family member, even though he says he's not.
He's the
Michael Kleber on Twitter.
You probably have some connection down the line.
Yeah, some, I'm sure. I can't call in, but just for the record, I agree with Jordan. Hashtag difference brackets. GBach44 says Jimmy Graham's offensive pass interference on Hail Mary versus the 49ers. That needs to be in there as well. All right. Okay.
We already settled this. I'm right.
We didn't settle anything.
You're wrong.
But what? You're blaming me. Listeners submitted it. And we said, whatever you submit, we will put in a bracket. Isn't that what we said?
I thought, no.
Is that what we said?
Everybody thought that it was going to be two different brackets.
No, nobody thought it was two. I never said two different brackets.
That's what I thought. So what do you think the listeners
thought? You have your own world in your head. Glenn Gilbo, next.
The right
from D.C. On the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Ask yourself, if you built a van for your business, where would you start? At the beginning, of course. With the people who invented the work van over 100 years ago, Mercedes-Benz. You'd give your new Mercedes-Benz Sprinter advanced technology and safety to keep you connected and protected. You'd make it available in diesel and gas, and there would be thousands of configurations and upfits to choose from. You'd build it right here in the USA, because your one-of-a-kind business deserves nothing less than a van that's built for you. Introducing the all-new Mercedes-Benz Sprinter, the safest, most innovative Sprinter yet, starting at just $33,790. Built for you, the all-new Sprinter, built in the USA. Mercedes-Benz, Vans, born to run.
MSRP excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation charge, and dealer prep fee. Options, model availability, and actual dealer price may vary. See dealer for details about costs and terms. Equipment described as optional. 2019 Mercedes-Benz Sprinter, available soon.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.
Archie Manning here for Thibodeau Regional. In the Manning household, we're pretty serious about sports. And just like the team at the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional, we're also very serious about sports safety. As the region's leader in First Comprehensive Sports Medicine Program, they've been in the game longer with certified athletic trainers, fellowship-trained sports medicine physicians, and neuro-sports-trained experts. So play hard, play to win, but play it safe with the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional.
The 2019 Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series is underway, and you can get caught up on the latest information for this week's race on Fridays right here, ESPN New Orleans. And it's all sponsored by Rogers Parts, locally owned, nationally known. Rogers Parts has been serving the local area for over 50 years. Get the expert analysis and latest news of this week's NASCAR racing event all throughout the season, every Friday on ESPN New Orleans, 100.3 FM. Napa Know-How.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Welcome back, and thanks to Mr. Glenn Kilbo. Literally on a travel day as he gets ready to check out LSU Michigan State tomorrow. Of course, the teams will chat. You're not going. Glenn, I'm sorry we have to do this.
Glenn Gilbo.
He's already in D.C. You can't go with him.
Oh, he is already
in D.C. Yes. Hello.
Go ahead.
I was just going to ask if you could bring me to D.C. with you to go watch.
Glenn,
LSU.
Jordan is asking people to take him to the Sweet 16.
No. I'm already here. I'm sorry.
If I pay you $50,
he's already there. You can't go. You're done. No, $50 ain't getting you a plane ticket. Anyway, Glenn, sorry, it's what I have to deal with there today. So we've had a couple of callers, Glenn, ask, why is there such a disparity in people believing that the LSU Tigers can beat Michigan State? My simple answer to people has been Tom Izzo. Why do you think a lot of people feel that this will be where LSU's season ends?
Well, Michigan State's the number two seed. They've won 30 games. They're a final four institutions. Tom Izzo. There's any a number of reasons why people think that. I'll be surprised if LSU wins, but I think LSU's definitely going to have a chance to win. I mean, they match up well. Michigan State doesn't play zone. You know, maybe they'll put some in, but maybe not. LSU is as talented as anybody in the field, other than maybe Duke. I think they definitely have a chance. And this is what I wrote about yesterday. You know, as far as LSU's gotten in recent games, they've not played their best. Cavell Bigby Williams had 2 points in their last game. Devontae Smart has not scored in double digits in his last two games and had an okay game in the 13 before that. So he gets back to his form where he got like 29 against Tennessee or in the 20s, you know, and you know, Tremont Waters didn't hit a three in the Maryland game. That's only the second time that's happened. First time since the Memphis game way back in November. So if LSU can play as well as it's played against Kentucky, Tennessee, at Florida, some other games, they're going to have a real chance of winning this game.
What's the mood been like? It's just mood, but really Coach Benford, the staff, and the players kind of this week, practice-wise, and just really kind of getting prepared to head out to D.C.?
Well, they took Sunday off, and they weren't available. Benford was available yesterday, but you know, I think they're just real excited to be where they are. You know, the NCAA tournament is cool because as you advance, it's not as big a deal if you lose as mm-hmm. you keep going. Like if they'd have lost in the first round, that would have been bad. And not so bad if they'd have lost in the second round. And if they lose this game, nobody really expected them to win. So, I mean, they reached the Sweet 16. They've had a great season. So the pressure's kind of off as far as expectations. But, I mean, I think these guys are real confident. They got a lot of self-leadership. You know, the coach is letting them play, which makes sense. They've got self-starters and good leadership on the team. These guys are coaches on the floor, Waters and Mays in particular. But, you know, I think they're very excited, and I think they're very excited about, you know, an opportunity to shock the world in 3 days. Number 2 seed Michigan State, number 1 seed Duke, most likely.
Speak with Glenn Gibble at LSU Beat Tweets, the way to follow him over on Twitter. When you look at this matchup here, the numbers, stats-wise, kind of very similar, right? Rebounds, scoring averages, players that kind of lead their teams, very, very similar just the numbers-wise go. When you kind of take a look at Michigan State team, what kind of best basketball team you see, Glenn?
Yeah, Michigan State is big down low with Xavier Tillman, Kenny Goins, Nick Ward. You know, they're all in that 6'8", 6'9", 6'7", range, much like Naz Reid and Cavell's at 6'11", and LSU can come back with Emmett Williams off the bench and Darius Days. I think it's a very good matchup. LSU has better guards than Michigan State, though. Michigan State's got a really good point guard in Cassius Winston from Detroit. That's 7.5 assists a game, 19 points a game. But they don't have three guards like LSU does, you know, with Smart, Mays, and Waters. You know, Marlon Taylor can jump out of the gym. So I think I wrote this yesterday, too. Tom Izzo, you know, coaches tend to blow up the opponent, but he seemed legitimately concerned on his press conference that he had Monday with the talent that LSU has. And he was their offensive rebounding. LSU's fourth in the nation in the offensive rebounding percentage statistics. And he said that they just they just go at the boards like madmen instead of their offensive rebounding. And they really do. I mean, Cavell and Naz Reid are really strong going to the glass. So I think he's taking LSU maybe more seriously than the rest of the country is.
Glenn, it's funny. I see your tweet a little bit ago. It's funny. Just when you look at salary by the numbers, slight disadvantage between Tom Izzo and Tony Benford. Of course, it's an assistant, and you get this. Look, how important do you think at the end of the day the benches, the staffs, will be in this game?
Well, you know, Sturgeon, the Maryland coach, is a pretty good coach. But, yeah, I mean – Tony Benford is fixing to go up against Tom Izzo and Coach K in 3 days. You know, that's six national championships. It's something like 15 Final Fours. Coach K is number 2 in pay at $7 million. Coach Izzo is number 3 in pay at $4.1 million. And Tony is making $325 a year. mm-hmm. But, I mean, sure. You know, I think if it comes down to an adjustment, a key adjustment in a close game late, Izzo's got an obvious advantage. And also, Michigan State, anyway, plays very good late. But, you know, LSU has played well late this season. They went in overtime. They're 7-3 in games decided by 4 points or less. Now, a lot of those are with Wade. But, I mean, they showed a lot of guts in pulling out that game against Maryland. So, you know, interim coaches are hot these days. Dabo, Orgeron, and Tony Benford.
Right. No doubt. Glenn, when you take a look at matchups, is there one or two in particular that stands out to you? I think Knott's Reed can be somebody that can stand out. Look, obviously, they have a really good point guard in Cassius Winston. They're big rebounders, only 6'7". And I just think the athleticism that Reed's shown in these two games, like, I think his stock's gone up if he decides to leave early and all that stuff. I just think he and Big B Williams, their size and athleticism can really be a factor, I think, in this game. I think that's a matchup to me. If the Tigers can control the paint, can score down low, can rebound down low and not give them offensive rebounds, I think that at the end of the day can be a reason if they win.
Yeah, look, LSU has more Final Four experience than Michigan State does as far as the roster. Cavell Bigby Williams was at the Final Four 2 years ago with Oregon. Michigan State hadn't been to a Final Four in a few years. But Xavier Tillman of Michigan State, 6'8 sophomore forward, 9.8 points a game, 7.2 rebounds. He's their leading shot blocker with 1.6 a game. I think that's going to be a good matchup. And you know, LSU, they kind of switch off. You know, you'll see Reed on Xavier, and you'll see Bigby on Xavier, too, probably Bigby most of the time. So I think that's a good matchup in addition to Winston and Tremont Waters.
So at the end of the day, how do you think this is going to wind up on Friday?
I think, as I said, I mean, I would not be surprised. I would not be that surprised if LSU won. I think they have the talent to do it. But I think Michigan State is going to win a close game, you know, 5 or lower points differential.
Yeah, I'm with you, too. I think I wouldn't be surprised at all if you see it. It's just if they can get that second half where the possessions are, I wouldn't even say just valued, it's just smarter possessions. Maybe don't jack up the threes if you can get to the lead. I think the start of the game will be key and important as well, don't you?
Sure. Sure. We'll see how big LSU can play in the moment. But, you know, another reason to feel good about LSU's chances, I mean, the SEC has been just ripping up this tournament. I mean, they've been beating people bad. I mean, they got 4 teams in the Sweet 16. You know, Auburn's blown out some people. LSU was on its way to blowing out Maryland. So LSU's beat those teams, and they've been toughened by the SEC. You know, Michigan State's a Big Ten champion as well. But I think this is an excellent matchup. I mean, I definitely thought LSU was going to get this ball. I didn't see them losing to Maryland or Yale. But, you know, obviously now, you know, this is a really good team with a great coach. You know, one of his players went after him during the game because he wasn't happy with how he was playing, and they had to hold the guy off. I mean, he's very competitive. So I just think this is going to be a great game. I really do. And LSU could win it.
I tell you what, if they do get that and Duke does win, I think they could present Duke with some matchups. Naz Reed and Zion, right? I kind of want to see it just from a matchup and a fan standpoint.
Oh, God. I mean, yeah. I mean, who would not want to see that? And then, you know, to get to that game, it's like, what do you have to lose? You know, you are number one seed Duke. You're playing Zion. You're playing all these other talented people and Coach K. And, you know, LSU beat them in 06. Wasn't as good a team as this, but they had about the same record, and they were a number one seed. But, yeah, I mean, and what a way, you know, Naz Reed has been a one-and-done guy since he got here. I mean, what a way to go out if he can play against Zion. And Cavell Bigby, too, who's a senior. You know, so these guys I don't think LSU's afraid of the moment. I mean, they've already played a lot of big games. I mean, they won at Kentucky, you know. They beat Tennessee at home, and they won at Florida, which is a good team. So this is a very good LSU team.
Glenn Gilbo covers LSU and the Saints. Gannett, Louisiana Papers, USA Today. Go check them out on Twitter, at LSUB. Tweet even has a picture of downtown D.C. in a certain street that Will Wade may be familiar with. Thank you, Glenn.
Hey,
I appreciate it.
Hey, Gus, I got a question. Best thing about the NCAA tournament, I don't have to cover spring football, which is the worst ever.
Hey, I'm with you. It's hard to look into practices and try to determine what kind of football team you're going to have, man. I hear you. Thanks, Glenn. Enjoy the time, and we'll see what kind of game we get Friday evening.
Later.
All right, there he goes. Glenn Gilbert. 800-998-1003. We'll go to your phone calls when we come back. join the interns claiming victory on something that we didn't, there's nothing to be victorious about. People called, wanted to put in those. I said the best thing to do is to make it its own division. And now you've started this thing where people say you need two brackets. I mean, whatever. I never said that. Never said that. I said give it its own division.
I'll play back the tape when I get home tonight.
Yeah, I'll play back. Final segment. I get sad when I see it's almost 2:50. It's like, I'm not done yet. Are you done yet? Are you ready for a nap?
I just don't want to go home and have to do homework.
No.
So, yeah, I'm kind of sad.
Sports Hangover wraps things up next on ESPN New Orleans.
The years just keep sliding by, don't they? How is it March already? If you're still not in a job you love, stop messing around. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an IT pro in months, not years, even with zero IT experience. Attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week. My Computer Career is nationally accredited and financial aid is available for those who qualify, including the GI Bill. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Uber has been doing a ton of great things this last year, and Uber Rewards is going to make you love Uber even more. With Uber Rewards, you'll get rewarded for things you're already doing. Every eligible dollar you spend on rides and Uber Eats earns you points that unlock amazing benefits, like Uber Cash, complimentary surprise upgrades, flexible cancellations, and so much more. Your life is about to get more rewarding thanks to Uber. Get all the info and terms at uber.com/rewards. That's uber.com/rewards.
People join Walk MS to raise awareness and funds that change the world for everyone affected by multiple sclerosis. MS attacks the brain and spinal cord. It's the most common neurological disease leading to disability in young adults. Walk MS brings communities together, creating teams with friends, loved ones, and coworkers to rally around those we care about and end MS forever. Join us. Together we are stronger. Walk MS fundraising accelerates research breakthroughs and life-changing breakthroughs. It will take all of our passion, determination, and fundraising to end MS forever. Together, we can change the world for people with MS. Join us. Register today, start a team, and raise funds at walkms.org.
Guardians of the grass, run with us on a John Deere X300 Select Series lawn tractor built for versatility. Because when you take pride in your lawn, you do it all. You mulch, bag, haul, grow, mow, and a whole lot more. And that's why the X300 Series takes care of everything with attachments for all your spring and summer projects. Because you're not just doing yard work, you're creating common ground for the whole neighborhood to enjoy. Nothing runs like a deer. Run with us. Search John Deere X300 for more.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Jared Cook on his interaction with Drew Brees. Wow. Let's try that again. There we go.
Part of the team. So that was pretty awesome. That was my first contact with him. But other than that, I've just always been a fan, watched him, just exposed defenses all across the league. And he was on point last year in all categories. So I'm excited to be working with him and just learn from him and growing with him.
Why are you giving me that look?
You.
Like my fault.
I even hear the bite.
You want to hear it again?
Yes.
Okay. Let me fix it.
He shot me a text. Last week, and I thought how excited he was to have me be a part of the team. So that was pretty awesome. That was my first contact with him. But other than that, I've just always been a fan, watched him, just exposed defenses all across the league. And he was on point last year in all categories. So I'm excited to be working with him and just learn from him and growing with him.
Pete, coming to you in 60 seconds. Final bite. This is him talking about Michael Thomas. Listen up. Joining intern.
I think it's going to be huge, and I think it's going to be huge for both of us, to be honest with you. I think it's going to be big for both of us. I like his work ethic. I like his mentality. That's something that you don't find in a lot of receivers, is that mentality that I'm going to go get mine, and I'm going to go get this, and nobody's going to be able to stop me. And I think that's important to have in this league. And confidence is huge, and I think he has all the tools, the intangibles, and the aspects to his game that's going to continue to carry him. And as a young player, that's important, man. It's important to notice those intangibles, the things that Mike does have. And I think that's going to help us throughout the whole year. That's hard to find these days.
Look, Sean Payton said it in the owners' meetings earlier in the week that he saw Jared Cook working opposite of Michael Thomas. As in, to me, I take that as the second option, right? I mean, that number two pass catcher and receiver. Pete, what you got for us, man?
Hey, fellas. Yeah, that Jared Cook, that was a great pickup. Mm-hmm. Just about the Tigers. Last week I called in and was kind of complaining about, and not you guys, but
yeah.
The media talking about Yale possibly beating LSU and LSU all this. And I told y'all that it's not even going to come close. LSU's way better of a team than them in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say this week that even though we're playing Michigan State and Tom Izzo, I'll make this statement because I think we're going to lose because I think it's in D.C. and I don't trust the NCAA. Let's put it that way. And I do think they don't want LSU anywhere as close to the Final Four. But that being said, if Big D Williams and Naz Reid are not in foul trouble and they're able to play the minutes they're supposed to have, they're going to win. There's no doubt in my mind because anytime Naz Reid comes up to the top and they take the, I can't think of his name, he's 6'8". Once they take him away, there is no one that can defend anybody else underneath that paint for Michigan. He's their all-everything guy in rebounding and toughness. And I just don't think they have people that can do the offensive rebounding like we have.
Kenny Goins.
I think this is a big opportunity for LSU to win, if you ask me. And like I said, if those two guys are still in the game, they're going to win. Secondly, let me just come right quick and tell you that the number one player in the Saints,
yep,
as I'm concerned, is when Von Johnson told Jerome Bettis on fourth down on the goal line to come on. And we stopped him, and we won the division and went to the playoffs for the first time. I thought that was an awesome play. Go back and review it. I thought that was awesome. And
right,
our worst play, and yeah, we all love him, okay? But when we had the victory and we were winning, he threw a pick six to Eric Allen in Philadelphia in the end zone, and all we needed was the first down to win that game, winning 20-6. And if you remember, Mickey Jackson, the best villain, basically had to carry Bobby Abe out of there because we were all looking to kill him. Y'all take care, man.
All right, thank you, Pete, so much. You heard that, Jordan. You know, again, it's...
Stop trying to weasel your way out.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, no, what I'm saying is the reference again to finally going to the playoffs, which is why I think Akeem drops the ball. It's at least going to make it to the Final Four. At least Elite Eight. It's going to be close in the Sweet 16 bracket.
We'll see what the people have to say.
The people. Your job is to be able to put all these together.
I know, I'm going to.
In between your homework assignment.
I'm going to get a little picture, and I'm going to white it out. I'm going to.
Oh, wow.
I've done it for the NBA Finals before.
Okay, yeah. Well, you know. So, yes, it is opening day. Joey, how you Cleveland Indians doing?
On TV?
Mm-hmm.
It's Major League 2.
It's Major League 2.
I'm not watching the real ones.
Oh, okay. I was making sure. I didn't know. As, yeah, we got opening day today, and then got some tomorrow. So full slate of games, including my
Who's the worst team in the MLB? Right, like just like
just
general.
The worst team?
Yeah.
No, we won't. No, it's definitely not Boston.
Well, whatever the worst team in the MLB is, they're going to win it all.
They're not winning it all. Matt Moscone after further reviews up next. See you tomorrow at Vinny's on ESPN New Orleans.